Grab your seeds, grab your gum, grab your baseball, grab your glove. It's time for some dirt and turf from the Social Sports Pad Podcast.
Woo!
I am the man they call Cobra, and joining me is... And Tyler and Kat are here. It's about time. Opening day is upon us. Say hello, everyone.
Wait.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited that opening day is this week.
Kat, that sentence just with a jersey type. Oh God, I'm so excited. just need that jersey girl.
Maryland.
That, but yeah, you know, that just that sentence just I. That, So, anywho, guys, welcome to Dirt and Turf, brought to you by the Sports Pet Podcast. Again, Amanda Kulko and Kat, we're excited for opening day, and we're glad you're able to join us. Hello.
Anyway, I'm glad I'm able to join us, but this is one of my ideas.
Pretty much. To be fair, we're glad you could join us.
Yes, indeed.
I'm a lot because my internet is not great because there's a storm going through.
I would put your phone on mute while you're not talking, just to make sure it's not messing with anything.
Pretty much. So we're gonna actually break down a very interesting set of games that happened this week. We had a interesting series between the Padres and the Dodgers over in South Korea, over in Seoul. And the Dodgers took the first game 5-2, but the Padres took the second one in a very video game-esque score of 15-11.
Whoo, boy.
That was fun.
See, I don't get to hear a lot about these other teams like that because I follow the Orioles too much, or I guess too closely. I don't know what the verbiage is for that, but I love that baseball is going other places. It's not just sitting here in the States and, you know, the NFL has been going other places. But for MLB to be going other places, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, to reach out to other fan bases worldwide is always an experience, especially with the baseball culture that is Korea or Japan. And by the way, when I refer to Korea, I mean South Korea, not North Korea. You know, let's avoid that can of worms there.
Yes, please.
Korea and Japan have such a respect for the American pastime that is baseball. It's amazing. And I want to say I'm here for it. You know, I hope we do more ventures out into the other fan bases that actually love this game of baseball, like Korea, like Japan, and like Central America, like the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Mexico. They love baseball too.
Well, they do have a game coming up in Mexico, I believe, don't they? The Yankees.
I believe so too. And like I said,
Rojos.
Yep. Like I said,
Tyler,
welcome back.
We have a lot of echo time.
Very much.
Woo!
Sorry if it died.
Yeah, I heard myself twice.
Hold on.
Yeah, it's his internet's messing, making the echoes and breaking.
Yep. So Tyler's gonna have a little bit of an issue with his internet. He's over in Ohio and it's dealing with a bit of a storm. It's always awesome for the dichotomy that it's you know, other nations that love the game of baseball like we do. You know, and I, as I said, I'm all for it. You know, because the more people that love this game that we love, whether it be, and this is not just baseball either. You know, it could be, you know, football does. You know.
Mike,
what I have to say about that is that we love this game of baseball. The world loves this game of baseball. Let's share the love.
Yeah, I think we should definitely be going other places. I like how the spring training is down in Florida, but then
Florida and Arizona, technically.
Yes. Okay. Yes, technically. But you know, for those of us who are on the East Coast, Florida's really the one. The one we pay attention to.
Well, yeah, Florida's always.
So I think the Orioles actually have a facility in the Dominican Republic. I think. Ben, do you know?
I'm not 100% sure. I can Google it.
Neither am I. As I was about to say, but some of us, our fan base is over in, our spring training is over in Surprise, Arizona. So, you know, like the Royals, they're over in Surprise.
Yes.
Yes, they have a 22.5-acre complex in the Caribbean, Central, and South American player development operations. It includes three full fields, a sports turf agility field, batting and pitching tunnels, administrative buildings, dormitories, and educational facilities.
That's amazing.
Nice.
Somebody told me when I was a kid that the Orioles were going to have a whole facility in the Dominican Republic. I'd have been like, nah.
Yeah, that, especially the Orioles.
You would think that'd be more Tampa Bay or Miami going down to the Dominican Republic, but here's Baltimore.
And to touch on the Yankees game, where they're going to be in Mexico. They're also going to be playing against Trevor Bauer.
Nice. Okay. Good luck, Trevor.
Yeah.
I love Trevor Bauer.
Yeah.
Hopefully he gets signed.
Hopefully so. So now let's segue away from the games that happened this week. But we're not going to go too far because, oh boy, we have a very huge situation that I don't think we can escape from nowadays. That would be Shohei Ohtani, his translator, and gambling. Oh boy. Wait a minute, am I? So, Shohei Ohtani, for those who don't know, his translator had to be was removed from his duties as translator Shohei Ohtani because he was caught gambling.
Oh, there it goes. Okay. Yeah. I just have to say there are two things that I've read on this. Popular opinion kind of thing. The first being gambling on yourself to win is probably less of an offense than gambling on yourself to lose, because you can't necessarily force a win of a game unless, of course, you're paying off the other team. Say that again. Sorry.
Which is match fixing. Match fixing.
Right.
Or as it's called, shaving points.
Yes.
But the other thing is,
guys are making millions of dollars.
Oh,
dear.
I swear.
Tyler, mute your mic for a minute.
Go ahead, Kat.
I lost my train of thought now. Oh, there it is. I found it. You know, the other line of thinking is these guys are making millions of dollars. And why do you have to gamble on this game if you're already, you know, some of these guys, the breakdown of what they make per game is more than I will make in my lifetime anyway. Why bet?
Well,
and also too, you know, I understand, you know, gambling in the 70s. I don't, you know, as far as making more money because the salaries weren't as high. I don't understand why you would gamble nowadays if you're a ball player.
That's too much of a risk in any league.
From what I'm gathering from the story so far is the original story was Ohtani was confronted by his friend and said, "Hey, I'm in some trouble. I owe $4.5 million to an illegal." It's an illegal bookie, by the way. It's not legal at all. It's an illegal bookie. And the guy knew who it was coming from because Ohtani's name is on there because it's getting wired. And the guy didn't say anything about it because he's like, "I'm getting paid. I don't care. Why should I care?" Well, I mean, the original story was Ohtani told everybody that his friend came to him, the interpreter, and said, "Hey, I need help." And he paid off the debt. Then during the press conference, because Ohtani can speak English. He can speak
it's English. It's limited English.
Yeah, but he can still speak it and he can still understand it.
Yeah.
During the press conference, where they were first interpreting what was said the first time, Ohtani was like, wait. That's not right. So then the whole entire story just all of a sudden flipped. And then apparently now it was like, oh, well, Ohtani had no idea about it apparently at all. And this is the first time he ever heard about it. And the guy had access to his money to wire transfer. That sounds suspicious. Very suspicious.
It definitely sounds very suspicious.
That's a lot of responsibility for one person. You're going to let them be your interpreter and accountant?
And on top of it, in the baseball rules, if you're caught paying sports bets, that's at least a minimum of 1 year suspension. But
yeah,
there's no saying in there if you can pay off another person's sports bets. So
yeah. Again, you know, this is a little bit too, like, the stories aren't meeting true. Best way I could put it. They're not.
And Ohtani's is the poster boy of the MLB. And I have a bad feeling that they're going to try to sweep this under the rug and pin the interpreter guy on them, pin everything on him, and he's...
100%.
I really wonder what Pete Rose is saying right now.
Like, this is some bullshit. That's what he's saying.
Pete Rose is probably...
Let me tell you something about the Pete Rose situation. All right. The MLB asked him, you know, they caught it, you know, they asked him to admit that he was gambling. And then they made him a scapegoat to say that he was gambling.
You know? Yeah, I don't like how they handled that at all.
Of course not, because it's the MLB.
Well, it's more than that, you know, like, the whole thing about the league using one guy as a scapegoat and being like, "This is why, kids, we don't bet on baseball." I just, the whole thing was, you know, learning about the whole thing was just really skeezy feeling. And, you know, the guy should be in the Hall of Fame. Like, legitimately, if we can put guys who are dogfighting into the Hall of Fame.
Pete Rose is the all-time leading hits leader.
Did it without
steroids.
Right.
All right.
Unlike
even though
some
he was in the steroid
era,
he is
people.
The all-time leading hits leader. Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame.
And let's be honest here. Pete Rose wasn't shaving points. Pete Rose wasn't losing games on purpose. He was just making bets.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a big difference.
No one has made this distinction in the MLB for Pete Rose. No one has sat there and been like, "Well, you know, he wasn't cheating to win. He wasn't losing on purpose. He was just making bets on his team."
They just banned him because they knew Pete Rose is a bit of an asshole.
Well,
pretty much. I mean, he's
Earl Weaver
he's
was
like
a bit
the,
of an asshole.
He's like the Tony Danza of that's. I compared him to Tony Danza because they look alike.
Tyler, do you have anything to? Tyler, do you have anything to add? Joe, Tony, O'Donnell.
Actually, think about it. There goes, do you know how I was going to refer to the Trevor Bauer situation, even though it's not as serious? They're going to push it under the rug because Shohei Ohtani is an all-star, a superstar. Trevor Bauer is not a superstar, so they're going to ban him. But when Shohei Ohtani gets out doing something, oh, just a slap on the wrist. Don't do it again.
And the fact is that, you know, he also appeals to three different markets.
And on
the American market, the Japanese market, and also the South Korean market as well, if you really think about it.
Well, let's not forget, they're also going to probably make excuses and be like, oh, well, it was a language barrier. He didn't realize what he was saying. That's their excuse they're going to play.
Bullshit. I'm sorry. Pardon my language. Sorry, podcast. Pardon my language. That is absolute bullshit. I love Shohei Ohtani, but if he's guilty of it, he's guilty of it. And they should be punished accordingly.
To be fair, Tyler, this is no holds barred uncut language here. As long as there's no slurs. All right. So
Yes,
please no. So anyway, Kat, you were gonna say?
I agree with that. There's not a lot of gray area with Major League Baseball. You're either the bad guy or you're not. And I feel like if any other player would have done this that needed an interpreter, they would be gone already.
Oh, yeah. It's double standards.
Yeah, if it was just some no-name that came in from the Nippon League, they would have had no questions asked and said, get the hell out of here.
Here's a good example. Even if Wander Franco didn't do what he did, let's switch roles. He did what Ohtani did. He definitely gets suspension.
But there's more evidence saying that Wander Franco did, so.
Well, I'm just saying if that didn't exist and he would got caught gambling instead, like a Shohei Ohtani situation.
Yeah.
He's not superstar power like Shohei, so he'd definitely get a suspension. I'm just comparing to like superstar status.
Yep.
He'd definitely get a suspension for that.
Valid point. So let's get away from this. Let's get away from this. Opening day hype going on. We need to get our opening day hype. Valid, but we need to get our opening day hype on. Get out of this as quick as possible. So opening day is upon us, ladies. And I can legit say that because Kat's a lady.
Yes.
Ben, you took a look at the opening day roster. So did Kat for the Baltimore Orioles.
Oh man, do it.
You gotta talk about this. You gotta talk
officially.
Yep, you gotta talk about it.
Yeah, no, he got sent down, like, officially.
Yeah, no, he got sent down. He got sent down. Kerstedt got sent down.
I'm gonna let you guys talk about it. When you guys get done talking about the call ups and the send downs, I'm gonna do a contrarian opinion about why the send downs got sent down.
See, well, I know why Jackson got sent down.
Yeah, they're going to say he's too young, blah, 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 blah. Even though every Orioles fan that has commented on a reel with Holiday playing has been like, he needs to be on the opening day roster. Like, everyone wants to see this kid play. So what, we're going to have to, like, go to the Frederick Keys? We're going to have to go to the Shorebirds? Like, we're going to have to go other places to watch him play? It doesn't make sense to me.
The reason why they're doing it is because they're trying to save his contract. They're trying to extend his eligibility so they don't have to pay him sooner. They can pay him later because they have a lot of players that they have to sign eventually. They also sent down Kerstead, and they also sent down Stowers, and they also sent down Mayo. Why?
I wasn't upset about Holiday, though. Like, Holiday. I feel like they're just postponing it when he could just start having an amazing career.
I agree he should be the starter, but they're trying to save his contract. And in my opinion, McKenna should not be on the roster at all.
I will add this, guys. Don't be afraid of the opening day roster. Be optimistic because Holiday has shown he is a stud in the making. Don't be surprised if you see him later on this season.
I don't see him not being brought up this year. But I think he's going to be one of those yo-yo players for a couple of months, and he might not be on the starting roster come the end of the season when we make the playoffs.
If they bring him up, they need to bring him up in ample time for him to be able to try to get a rookie of the year. If they don't, they need to hold him off until he won't be ready for, won't be eligible for rookie of the year.
They won't do rookie of the year this year for him. They're going to wait till next year.
Well, if he plays enough games, he could be eligible. So they need to bring him. Well, they need to make sure they don't play him so many games as well.
Yeah, that's probably a big reason why they're not bringing him up, because they want him to be able to do something next year.
That's also a possibility as well.
But I don't understand why they are keeping McKenna on the roster still, and they sent down three other guys who could have replaced him.
I feel like they're trying to give guys a chance. Like, McKenna is not on the same par as Holiday. But
I said, don't be afraid of this opening roster. You know, this is baseball. This is baseball, and nothing is set in stone.
Right.
The call-ups and send-downs happen all the time. So again, you know, don't be afraid of this roster.
No, and the Orioles, I think, have shown with their farm system. We've talked about their farm system before on here.
I think
the Orioles have more flexibility than other teams might have to be able to do that kind of thing. And I think that's why we see the Orioles doing this, you know, call up, send down thing
with
multiple
players. Here's the issue with that. You only get so many times you can send players up and down, up and down, and up and down.
Yeah, then
until they are available on waivers. Yeah, and you don't want these younger guys that are supposed to be your next big things getting claimed. So
yeah,
while they're playing monkey doo and musical chairs,
I was going to add this, Ben, because I can guarantee you there are high dollar teams, you know, that are terrible, but who are really looking at these small market. Their farm system.
And well, I can tell you
exactly who I'm talking about.
I can tell you what players probably are going to get traded before the season's over. That's easy. Definitely Stowers.
But again, you know that the Yankees are probably licking their lips at the Orioles farm system right now.
I don't think we're going to send anybody to the Yankees, though. I don't think we're going to send anybody to an in-division rival. Especially prospect wise.
I'm talking about waiver claims. I'm not talking
Oh yeah, waivers. Oh yeah. If Mateo hits waivers,
I was agreeing with Kat about waiver claims.
If Mateo hits waivers, he definitely get claimed. If McKenna hits waivers, he never gets claimed.
Yep.
I mean, you never know. There are some guys who, don't ask me names because I'm terrible with names. I remember a whole bunch of guys one year getting claimed off of waivers. My dad was pissed with the organization. He was like, I can't believe they let this happen. And a whole bunch of them went to whatever team it was, who was then in the World Series.
So,
oh, I know what team. I know exactly what team you're talking about.
So here's
Dallas,
here, Tyler. Our roster fluctuation getting discombobulated. Who is it, Tyler?
It might have been the Braves, either the Braves or the Astros.
Well, I know the Orioles. Their roster was starting to get too talented. And instead of keeping Christian Walker and Mountcastle, they traded away Christian Walker, and now look where he's at now.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was another superstar player that actually ended up going through the Orioles system, and actually ended up being a juggernaut. Kershaw. You know who that is? Know who that was?
Kurt Schilling did.
Kurt Schilling.
I was talking about more recent.
The guy who I could say? I mean,
Julio. Is the Julio guy? Julio Rodriguez? No, that's not him, is it?
No, Jose Bautista.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because he started out in the Orioles and then got traded to the.
No, wrong. No, he started out with the Pirates, then got traded to the Orioles. No. Start out with the Blue Jays, then to the Pirates, then to the Orioles, then back to the Blue Jays.
That guy gets around.
Well, Jose Bautista.
With most women in New York City.
Yep.
We're talking about the batter, right?
Yeah, we're talking about the batter. Yeah, Jose Bautista.
Yeah, I never
the
did.
The bat, what, 2015 ALDS?
I never did.
Yep.
I never did.
Yeah, the greatest bat flip in baseball history.
Yeah, wow, every time we faced him, he would always crush it out of the park at Orioles. The Oriole Park.
Yeah, and again, you know where he developed his swing? Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, he was with them originally.
Yep.
We drafted him.
Yeah.
See, and this is why our farm system, like, on one hand, you know, I'm really proud of the organization for having this amazing farm system. But then there are other teams that completely benefit off of our farm system. And then they have better, like, development once the guys get called up. We don't have as good a development as some of the other teams.
Yeah, the other thing that the Baltimore Orioles unfortunately don't have, and a lot of small markets don't have this, and that's money. That's why if the Baltimore Orioles or any other farm system go on a hot streak, you only have 5 years to keep it up.
Honestly, as much as I hate to say, Baltimore has one of the top farms. You can't count out LA with their system.
Yeah.
Isn't there another guy that was with the Orioles system? Paul Goldschmidt? Wasn't he originally drafted?
Yeah.
He was originally drafted by a Diamondbacks. He was born in Washington.
But we are getting excited about opening day. You know, spring training is over, baseball begins, and next week we're gonna get things going on this podcast. We know that there will be more things going on. We definitely want to thank our sponsors. Ben, can you rattle off us, please?
What's that?
Can you rattle off our sponsors?
Oh yeah. We have Duke Cannon, which you can clean off that stench of Shohei Ohtani's interpreter any day you want if you go to the link below.
I've been using Duke Cannon for almost 3 years now, and they are a great product to use. Not only do they do soap, they also do shampoo, cologne, deodorant. You know, they do a lot of manly things to keep you smelling great.
Keep you smelling like a man.
Now
we also have Bulletproof Coffee. They don't just sell coffee. They also have collagen. They also have pills for helping you sleep, helping you concentrate. They also have coffee that has collagen in it. They have
a green superfood powder too.
Yeah, they have a lot of stuff. They don't just sell coffee. Yep. Sell coffee.
That link is also in our description. We also are affiliated with Sleece.com. They I've been using sleeves for almost a decade now. Whenever I bowl, I make sure I have one of their arm sleeves on. They keep my arm compressed and loose. They don't just do compression sleeves. They also do tights, shorts, and baseball coming up. So they also have baseball themed apparel too for your little leaguer.
I bought some of the stuff for my softball league starting in the summer.
Nice job, man. We also have W Energy.
For when the day calls.
We also have Dr. Squatch.
Oh, when did we have Dr. Squatch?
We had Dr. Squatch. Yep. We also have
good old Fanatics, where you can see the person's jock straps, or you can buy a new WWE licensed MLB championship belt for your favorite team.
Yep. And we also want to give thanks to our newest affiliate.
Yes. We're going to give a shout out to Century PC.
Yep. Definitely. Please check them out. The link is in our descriptions where you listen to your podcasts. So, and that is it for Dirt and Turf podcast. On behalf of Ty, Cat, and Ben, I am the man they call Cobra.